We thank you, our Father, for the privileges that are all ours because of Jesus, the unspeakable gift, the Lord. We thank you for the access that you have given us, not only to your presence, but unto the voice of your words. And we have power with you because we are righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now, Lord, we look unto you to help us additionally as we seek to live and to serve in a manner that is more pleasing in your sight than hitherto. For that worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things are for thy pleasure. For the performance of your will we are created. Anoint us to hear, to receive, to obey your word, and to become your word. Lord, we will continue to ask you of this blessedness. And we pray that it might be the lot of all those who hear the word of the Lord, not only from our mouths, but from all your servants. Let there be a time of great increase coming upon the church as you have shown us. Thank you, Father. We believe you, Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the pattern son. That will mean that everything that is falling upon our shoulders is responsibility. Responsibilities that are attached to the throne. For the throne has responsibility attached. Ordinarily, you do not put a child to sit on the throne. Even the Old Testament dispensation, priestly responsibilities are not given to children. If they are of the priestly tribe, they may eat the food of God. But they cannot serve it. Service is a public responsibility. And sitting on the throne involves discharging responsibilities that will affect and impact on the public. It will affect the domain of darkness as that domain continues in their onward decline until they are wiped out of the face of the earth. So the sitters on the throne have responsibilities. And as we have said, Jesus Christ is the pattern son. If then he is an example to us in the matter of responding to the responsibilities that are ours, then we may use him, we may look at the scripture to see him modeling the path we should take. The following things are evident. One, it was not a matter of sin that brings out the necessity for receiving such training as make us to serve the Lord in a manner that is more pleasing to him. But this is why we are put there. We began to talk about the priestly arrangement under the Old Testament. When you are 20, You've come of age, you can go to battle. It's a form of public service, but still not the matter that pertains to seeing the holy things of God and participating in dispensing them. The Israelite must come to the age of 25, who is a Levite of the priestly tribe and of the line of Aaron. Then at 25 is brought under serious tutoring of experienced ministries that have served the Lord faithfully for at least 20 years. That put these persons under serious training, and at the age of 30, having come of age, the oil of the anointing is put upon them to consecrate them for their service. That is how it is in the old. And we see this parallel in the new. Now, Jesus Christ totally depended on the Father. So our dependence upon God, our dependence upon Him to consecrate ourselves completely to Him, is not because we have had an experience with sin. It is required. Creaturely dependence upon God is mandatory. And that is why God does so many things to make sure we are able to fulfill the mission He has given us, what we are commissioned to do. So we see that there are two streams in understanding God's responsibility to us. We have gone through it. We are taking it up in a recap because some may be coming into this series of teaching for the first time. Now, what God made us once for all time cannot be changed. It is not according to some tenure. After 10, 15 years, you drop your place on the throne and assume other position. No, it's for life. It is glory upon us that will lead us to glory. Glory is a seed. It has been seeded in us, and God shall receive it as fruit. So, it is glory unto glory. He's bringing many sons to glory and gives them glory. We are suitably placed to receive training. And the Lord gave Jesus Christ His Spirit. It's our model. But immediately, Jesus Christ received that anointing that opened the heavens so that He can say, I am standing on the earth, but I'm in heaven. John 3:13 refers. He could span time and space with his eyes, his ears. He hears into God and sees everything. But they are all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And recognizing that the Lord said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You would have supposed that then he should just rest upon that. No. We see him do something. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, we are told immediately after his baptism, remember the chapter divisions in the books of the Bible are given for our own convenience. The 17th verse of Matthew 3 says, and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Chapter 4 verse 1, the very next verse says, and the Holy Spirit propelled him to a time of aloneness with God, to study the Word, to pray and seek God, to have full view of what his mission was to be. Now follow closely. For 40 days he was fasting and praying. Remember, he had no sin. So the necessity for that consecration and staying in the presence of God removed from the world was because it is mandatory that the Creator should have his creatures, even creatures in the divine place, wholly depend upon him. If you catch that shit, shout a big amen. Right. It was there. But it was a habit he had already built. For we know that when he was in the was 12 years old, follow closely, they went from Nazareth to Jerusalem for a ceremony. And at the end of the third day, while the entire family was returning, of course, the family tree was fibrous. So they had many cousins, nephews, nieces, and they were playing together while the adults stayed alone. They traveled for 3 days. He has sneaked out of the company of those children and was in the temple speaking to those who are doctors of the law. He provoked them to listening to him by a question he asked. And while they were answering him, thinking they were teaching a young child, he began to respond. And they said, what manner of child is this? Why? Because he had begun to pore over the pages of the scripture. He was so conscious of the mission that was upon him. This is grace. There's an endowment called grace that God gives to us. And of his fullness, Jesus, have we all received grace for grace. So we have the preparation, but we must engage ourselves in effectively knowing the things that are given to us. So after 3 days, the mother came. And with the bear, I said, son, hey, I would have had to answer a lot of query from God. Because I know what manner of son you are. And why are you treating us like this? Say, mom, what did I do? Don't you know that I must be about my father's business? If he said that to him, we know that the 18 intervening years till he was 30, he was pouring upon the pages of the scripture. One good habit to cultivate is staying in the presence of the Lord daily. In worship, in praise, in adoration, in thanksgiving, also in hearing the voice of Almighty God through the pages of the printed word, and of such restrictions that come in a secondary level from the Holy Spirit, which we have ability to understand, relate to by the principles of the written word. So for 18 years he prepared himself. That's the pattern stone. Then we see him coming forth right there in the wilderness. He had the Garden of Eden experience as the serpent tempted Adam. So the serpent came to test him 3 times, but each time he engaged the adversary by the spoken word. Ability to speak the word then is the reason behind this series of teaching, the triumphant use of the blood, and how we prepare ourselves to render such service. Say, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God doth a man come to life. Then when it says worship, he says no. The Bible says, worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And they rebuked him 3 times, taking scriptures he applied. So he triumphed over the enemy. He had his Garden of Eden experience. The same thing that happened to Adam is happening to us on daily basis, but we must prove to be masters over the situation. How? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So the preparation of the believer is also for living a life that is honorable, that is befitting to the truth. There are conducts and compositions that are not befitting the truth. We already have this preparation. We are led to do whatever we want to do, and we find ourselves always wanting to do righteousness. Amen? But that is Jesus. Now, and you would have thought that with such tremendous preparation lasting 30, 18 years and 40 intensive days of being alone in the wilderness without food. You would have thought that would have been enough, but no. If you read the book of Luke, 7 times it is discovered to us the prayer ministry of Jesus. He was always with the Father. For example, look at Luke 6:12. The intensity of his prayers recorded in Hebrews 5, 7, 8, and 9, which we'll look into, was gotten from Luke 22. As he groaned the place, he sweated blood. Now, therefore, the responsibilities of our citizens require us to be in fellowship with the Lord. So there's a continued work of the Lord towards us in that when we respond to him thus, he will continue to provide for us, strengthen us, imparting to us attributes of wisdom and of power. So we see it in Jesus. Now, for example, we've seen Luke 6:12. It says, is it there? Luke 6:12, it says, and in those days was the Jesus go into the mountain apart to pray, and he continued all night. He was going to take a major decision. He has perfect wisdom, but they sought the Father. What a pattern son he is. He did not say, well, I know you come, be my disciple, come, you come. No, he obtained help from the Father. Look at Luke 6. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. It was characteristic. Then look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his 12 disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named what? Apostles. So you see the correlation between the successes of his ministry and that life of prayer dependence upon God and the study of God's word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, to which we may now refer, say, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These 4 divisions cover the full scope of all our requirements. But the scripture is given to impart us with these foursome powers. Say that the man of God, who is the man of God? That is the designation of anyone that has been called to the throne. Anyone that has been made righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Anyone whose sins are forgiven, to whom is given the right to use the name of the Lord. Anyone who is sitting with Christ in heavenly place. Anyone who was buried with him by baptism and arose to new life. All such persons who are believers indeed are designated as men of God. For to whom the scripture is written, to such is this is the scripture, man of God. So it's not a position that is reserved merely for some in an official way, but a responsibility is upon us, but we are the men and women of God to whom the scripture is written. And verse 17 underscores what we are talking about. We are in a position, great and mighty, but we want to prove that what we are agrees with what we show forth. We have to be triumphant. We have to be victorious in life endeavors. We are to have an all-round success mentality, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit, by our placement, as we enjoy the abilities that come from the Spirit of God. For authority couples with ability. Authority couples with responsibility. Authority must the followed up with expressions of power. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You shall be thoroughly furnished. And of course, you see, that is your responsibility. So, Christ is the model. We see him. And he did not take to this lifestyle because he was a sinner, but because it is required. Our consecration will be all the more taken to heart wholeheartedly when you know that Christ committed the same to the same lifestyle. He that will come after me to be where I am, let him take up the cross and deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. Amen. Your life as you know it on earth, your earthly life will be lifted to a heavenly plane as you know me. If you lose what might be the funny experiences of a life lived in sin, if you lose that low life, you shall take on my high life. He that loseth his life shall find it in the higher place. Glory! But he who saves it in order to be one with the world, to him it is asked, what shall a man give to the exchange for give for the exchange of his life? What shall he profit a man if he gives the whole world and what suffers the loss of his soul? Praise the name of the Lord. So here we see that Christ gives to us an example in study, in prayers, in worship. And these things should characterize our lives. But when we understand additionally that this is actually our responsibility as priests, recall that under the Old Testament, the priest had power only as he lived in the word of God and made it his food, and has to pray to God to have power so that when he communicates God's law, he's so full of strength that kings listen. Priests who do these things become prophets also. Like Jeremiah, he was a prophet priest. Glory! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thus we see the place of our communion with God. We seek him to know what has been done once for all time in our lives. As Christ's sacrifice was once for all time, so our placement in those six core realities of the new creation man are one for all time. It can never change. It's not after 10 years. It's not a political office. Glory! It's not a monarchical office that is ended by death or by usurpation. Glory to God. All that are ours forever. Solely on the basis of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary and what he is doing for us now in the power of his glorification, sending the Spirit into our lives. So, study to show thyself approved unto God. Hebrews 5, 7, 8, and 9 captures what we have found going through the book of Luke. It was as he was praying in Luke 11 that the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And he taught them about the three loaves which can answer to the full range of man's problem. Glory to God. Always, always, they observed it. And that is why the apostles themselves, we are men of prayer. May God teach us to pray. May God increase our experiences in the place of prayer. Glory to God. So let's read Hebrews 5, 7, 8, 9. And with that, we'll be concluding this episode. And then we'll be zeroing in of what things we do when we pray. Because our minds are inclined unto learning more about what God has done for us and all the things we did in relation to the world basis for a triumphant use of the blood of Jesus Christ. We go over there over and over again, but it's not spiritual education that is the only thing, yet the aspect of our devotional life, that what becomes increasingly as true prayers as God continues to work in us. Amen and amen. Amen. Hebrews 5, 7, 8, and 9. He is our pattern. So let's look at it. Want to go? Who, in the days of his flesh, where he has offered up prayers and supplication with strong cries and tears. Glory to God. Faith and trust accommodate the place of groaning. Amen? Because you need, you are uttering mysteries to God when you are speaking another language. We pray with understanding. We pray in tongues. Jesus did the same. Groaning too deep for words. He groaned with strong crying and tears. And one would have wondered, the Father will give you what you want. But where he did that in the secret, where he came to the open, it is just a movement exercise and the thing is done. Hallelujah. Say, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. And for the sake of those people, I pray that they might know that you have sent me. Lazarus, comfort. Hardly up to 10 seconds. And the deed is done. But there's power behind it. This is the secret God is urging upon us in this last hour. And it will give us strength to move in that dimension of faith. But see, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Thank God we can groan this way. It's made easier for us where we speak in tongues, praying. Praying with understanding. When our minds are enlightened as to what we need to ask the Lord. And these things do profit us in very definite ways, which will be the burden for the next ministration. When he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Lord, not my will, but your will. He feared, which means he yielded himself to all of God's rights over him. Hallelujah! When the will of God is uppermost in our life, we can never fail. Verse 8. Though he were a son, elect, elevated, and though we are sons, crowned, yet learned him obedience. He practiced increasing in his obediences to God. 1 Peter 1, 2 says, we are called unto obedience. Six obediences that characterize the believer. We've gone through that before, and we shall pick it some other time. Yet, learned he obedient by the things which he allowed. Faithfulness attracts certain things. But we will not, because of those things, become unfaithful. Say, if I yield myself to God, it will attract opposition. But opposition will fall always, always. Always, always. Always, always. That herald of a man told him, say, right, I'm coming to catch you. I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to lock you up. Who do you think you are? Then Jesus says, go and tell that fox. Go and tell that fox. I preach today, perform wonderful works tomorrow. The third, I finish my course, and I go to my nobody can stop me. And nobody can stop you. And being made perfect, it became what? An author. Not just an author. The author of what? eternal salvation, a salvation that takes you to the uppermost, unto all them that do what? Obey him. We can't be excused from the obedience, but the obediences that are required of us are things we will always love to do. God bless you and cause his face to shine upon you and do you good in Jesus' name. Amen.